Hello and welcome to the Henrietta Christian Fellowship Podcast. The notes for the sermons featured here can be found at our website, henriettacf.org. Also, on Android or iOS mobile devices, you can find them on the YouVersion app. Just click on Search for Live Events and enter our zip code 14543. Without further ado, here's this week's sermon.
But I really want to preach Jesus to you, okay? I mean, and really the focus that God has given me for this next little while is just to see Jesus. You know, that there were some people who came looking for Jesus, and they said, we want to see Jesus, all right? Now, mind you, they had just sat through his teaching, more than likely, all right? But they want to see him. Because there's something that God desires to put in us by seeing him, all right? That, you know, the whole story of his birth, what for, you know, except to set forth the gift of God apart from having done anything for us yet. The mere promise, you know, and to see that promise in this little baby laying in a manger, and to see Jesus as this gift from God, yes, Jesus, the one who would save us from our sins. That, you know, Simeon says, you know, Lord, you know, you fulfilled your word to me. Now I can depart in peace because mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before. And it's like, wait a minute, he's looking at a week-old baby, all right? I got a new little namesake, and he's getting to be a couple months old here now. And, you know, and it's like, and I see this little baby, and I see all kinds of promise and everything like that. But they saw something in Jesus that was beyond all that. You know, it's not just the cuteness of or the hopes and that sort of thing. No, they said, we understand. God is revealing to us that this we're seeing, okay, is the evidence of the fulfillment of his promise in this little baby. But just to see him for who he is, you know, there's times where, you know, you almost don't want to preach a Christmas message exactly because, you know, you sort of make you feel like you have to get all kinds of other things involved in it. But what about just the joy? What about just the wonder of seeing God's promise fulfilled in the coming of his son? You know, and just to see that, you know, not get all wrapped up in doctrine is great. You need doctrine or you'll go crazy off into weird stuff, you know. But, you know, if you spend all your time over there and don't take your time to come over here into this place where God is calling us into a relationship, into an experience with him, you know, it becomes dry and dead. Right? You need life and you need this kind of truth thing that's like, you know, this rock that anchors us. Have you ever tried to hug a rock to fall asleep? Only once when I was camping, but you know, but it's not a very good strategy. You know, there's something warmer than that God desires for us to have, along with this set doctrines and truths. But really, what we're looking at here, if you want to set it in terms of the basics of the faith, I believe in God the Father Almighty, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. That's what but we want to see Him, right? We want to see Him because you know. So let me just kind of make sure I have the right set of notes here. I do. Okay. So I had last week's up here before. I almost preached last week's sermon all over again. So I won't go into that. Anyways, but Jesus called God his Father. Now, in the Old Testament, there was some references to God as this father figure and as the father of the Jewish people and that sort of thing, that Abraham was their father, but that God was their father, that, you know, that there was this sense that was there. But you have to understand that there are things that God put into that revelation, which were a schoolmaster to bring us to this revelation, all right? And so it's kind of lightly handled there. I mean, if you would have gone back to somebody living prior to the arrival of Jesus Christ, I think the place of God as Father would have seemed a small thing. But not once Jesus came. It's, you know, we see it alluded to in Luke's gospel. Luke 1:32 says, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." Okay, that we see that he is going to be somehow in this family relationship with all that God is called Father. All right, and so you know, it comes along again, and we start to see that this revelation is not something new; it's something that comes out of eternity. All right, the Jesus, it's over in John chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. But as many as received, and we talked about this last week, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. So it's not just that God was going to be the Father to Jesus, but he was opening up an understanding that he was going to be the Father to all believers. To all who would follow Christ, God would be Father. And it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right, the power, the authority, the freedom to do as I please and to become this child of God, even to those who believe on his name. Doesn't say you automatically become one. You have the right to become one. You know, there's something that's entered into here. And it says they were born. Now, you got to do a little bit of kind of, if you got the notes in front of you, you'll see that we're born and of God are highlighted. There's a reason for that, because there's this parenthetic kind of, set apart by commas insertion there, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. Okay, so now let's just take that out for a minute. Okay, that was to qualify all this, which were born of God. I want you to understand that you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, that Christ came for you, that Jesus, this person that we're being exposed to, having revealed to us as the Son of God, and he's revealing to you that God is your Father. From the very beginning of John's gospel, they say, you were born of God. All right, so that you understand, later on when he's talking to Nicodemus, he says, you must be born again. It's the same words, basically. You need to be born from above. And he says, because if you're not born from above, you'll never see the kingdom of God. All right, you'll never see what God has. You'll never see God's affairs. You'll never see what it is that God is doing unless you receive this life from above, unless you are born according to the will of God into this new place. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father. So we see Jesus now set forth here, full of grace and truth. John testified about him when he cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. Whoa, it's coming from eternity. John has an eternal perspective, an eternal revelation that he's given. This Jesus, this one that has come for baptism, I'm telling you that he was before me, all right? And so it comes out of all eternity. For of his fullness we have all received in grace upon grace. Okay, this is something that is part of the message of this fellowship. You know, that you, every one of us has a gift. All right, everybody in this place has a gift from God. It's a charisma in the original language. It's something that the Holy Spirit desires to empower. And as we seek him, God will empower this by his Holy Spirit, this charisma, this gift. And it says that we have what? For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. We received our salvation. I have to, I just re-emphasize again, God wasn't done when he saved you. God was just beginning when he saved you. You know, he's got a whole life for you. He's got a whole eternity for you. He's got a plan for your life. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father. Whoops, wait a minute. I thought, sure enough, there was a misprint, right? Because I didn't realize how early this was said. I don't know why I missed this. I had always read that wrong. No one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten who is in the bosom of God, he has explained him. No, that isn't what it says. It refers to Jesus, even at this time, as the begotten God, all right? So we're seeing Jesus. And in the Gospel of John, it's starting to reveal to us what we're looking at here. We are seeing God manifest. This whole Emmanuel thing that we celebrated at Christmas time, Jesus wasn't just that on Christmas Day, okay, whatever day of the year that actually was. It wasn't just at his birth, but this is who he is. He is God with us. And so, he is explaining what to us? He's explaining our relationship to God. He is our Father, all right, to us. And let's keep going. Luke 2, 45 through 52. This is now they go up to Jerusalem, and and they're on their way back, and it's sort of like Home Alone in reverse, you know, because Jesus is left back in Jerusalem, and they're on their way home, and they get 3 days' journey out.
I'm thinking they probably call Child Protective Services on these folk about now, you know. Wait a minute, your 12-year-old was missing for 3 days and you didn't wonder about that? You know, but it's like, but it was, they didn't travel like we travel. They travel, well, unless they're the Gangulis. The Gangulis travel this way, like a large caravan of people making their way down the highway, you know. They don't travel alone. They're just like, they've got like three families heading down to Florida for something, and it's just, you know, that's how they do things, you know. But that's how they did things back then. So they just figured it was with one of the other relatives, and that was normal. It was very normal that he'd just be amongst the relatives somewhere. And the idea that he would have stayed behind, no, of course he's with us. All right, so here we come. It says, so they go back looking for him. Then after 3 days, they found him in the temple. Oh, wow, he might have been missing longer than that, because I wonder how long it took him to figure out that he was missing. Then it took him 3 days to find him. Okay, so they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. All right, you have to understand, this is the place of typically a rabbi. All right, he's 12. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When they saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." Now, if anybody understood that Joseph wasn't really his father, it was Mary, but, you know, you're raising a child. I mean, you know, we're not going to get into some big thing about how the Holy Spirit came upon me and everything. I'm not sure if they ever explained the virgin birth to Jesus by age 12. Maybe they did. I don't know. But so she says to him, you know, "Didn't you know that your father, we've been anxiously looking for you?" And he responds, and he said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" And that being in his father's house means being about his affairs. Now, before we go off into doctrine land here for a minute, before we go off into complicated teaching land about all this, can we just take time to appreciate something? Jesus, at the age of 12, is able to sit in the midst of the doctors of the law and reveal things that his mom understands. I didn't teach him this. Now, that's where a Jewish boy would have learned his early doctrine before he got sent off to the synagogue school. It was from his mom at home. And he has an understanding that goes far beyond this because he received it from his father. And Jesus understands where he belongs. He understands what he must do, but he understands where he belongs because he's got this revelation of God as his father. He knows that God is his father. He knows that this place here, this is his house. He understands this is where my father is doing the stuff that he's doing. I need to be here taking care of his affairs. Because if you haven't noticed, they've taken the court of the Gentiles and they've turned it into a marketplace. There's some stuff that needs to be taken care of here. There are places that are supposed to be holy, and people walk through them doing their daily work like it's nothing. I got to get here and straighten some things out. He comes back some years later to do that. But just for the little while, just to be there and to understand that there's something that happens when you draw near to the Father. And that is that, you know, you have answers that go beyond what you've learned. Why? Not because you got a degree, but because you know him. Because you know him. You know, I mean, we could argue doctrine all day long with people. But I think what people, perhaps their hearts are waiting for is to find somebody who actually knows God. And maybe that's really what they're looking for. Isn't the great answers, but, you know, this person obviously knows and loves God and knows they're loved by him. Jesus knows this, and he's calling us into it. He's calling us into it. Ephesians 4, 6 through 7. Yeah, let's take a little more time with this before we go there. Yeah, there's some more things to be taken notice here. I mean, first of all, to understand that he had this amazing understanding and answers because it came from the Father, and that he knew that this was his Father's house, but that he loved the place. All right, King David, keep in mind that we're aiming for David's throne eventually here. David says this in the Psalms, "O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells." You know, these are qualities that I believe Jesus had, that if we can look at Jesus, and if we can desire those things and begin to seek them from God, "Lord, I love when I find a place where I can sense that you're there. And Lord, just so you know, I know I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. I know that we together, you know, constitute this place where your glory dwells. And so, Lord, I love being that. And Lord, I want to be that to others, you know, that others can approach you. You know, do you treasure in your heart what God reveals to you? you know, this idea of treasuring means to keep it continually and carefully. You know, that you think about it. You know, things that God has shown you. You know, this word that the Lord gave you this morning. If it's for nobody but you, you know, that's wonderful. You know, but you gave us the opportunity for those that it was for to receive it. And so there comes this point with that word where you say, I think that's a word for me. And you don't do it, you know, because like TV, we just kind of watch it and forget it, right? And if we want to watch a rerun, we go online and just watch the rerun. You know, but life's not like that. You know, God gives you these opportunities to receive a word that's for you, all right? And somehow that transforms you. Somehow that draws you nearer in a relationship with this God. And because of that, you know, your witness is not just in your words, but it's tied up in who you are and the life that you live. And so, you know, that's what opens people up for us, that you know, we can be witnesses to them in Jesus' name. You know, and then this final thing here that says that he kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. You know, and I'm going to tell you something. That was a prayer that I prayed over my children all of their childhood years until they were released from our house. Lord, I pray, cause them to be always increasing in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. You know, I'd be praying this over them. It came down to a different little way of saying it, but that's where it came from. Now, Jesus is calling us into the same relationship with the Father that he has, but there is a difference, okay? Jesus is by nature the Son of God. We are not by nature the Son of God. We are objects of wrath, okay, by nature, all right? But Jesus calls us into something through his shed blood that we can be made new, that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things are become new, that we're brought into this place where we can step into this relationship with God. To as many as received him, he gave the power to become the sons of God, the children of God. All right, and so, you know, we're invited into this because although he was by nature, we are by adoption. Being a son of God by adoption, being a child of God by adoption is not a bad thing, all right, because he sends forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. You know, by nature, I don't do that, all right? By nature, I do not call upon God and have the nerve to call my Father. All right, now, I do want to kind of help you here a little bit because as I started, you know, preparing for this and I started saying, God, I just really want to get this in my heart, I know what I was reaching for was, you know, God getting the case of the warm fuzzies for me and just, you know, he wants to be my Father. Oh, isn't that sweet? But you have to understand this whole issue of the fatherhood of God really comes down to an issue of being somebody who serves him. You know, being somebody who serves him not like a servant does, but as a child does. All right, somebody that, you know, that is there to be a means for the Father to accomplish his will. That he's there, that child is there as a means for the Father's kingdom to be established. All right, and we see this when Jesus is talking to us about how to pray, and we'll get there in just a moment. But John 20:17, Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." That although the means by which we're related to God is different, Jesus brings this parallel and says, look, I want you to understand that what you've seen in me is available to you. You know, this relationship with the Father that you've seen in me, I came to reveal to you that you can have this relationship with the Father, all right? That I have this closeness to God that you've seen in me, that you've witnessed in me, it's available to you. When I was in the world, I was the light of the world. Now you're the light of the world. All right, you are now going to step into this place of being my body in this world, and that is not only anchored by doctrine, but it's anchored by this experience of seeing Jesus and understanding what we're supposed to get from seeing it, and. So, we get to this place where Jesus is now going to talk to us about how to talk to God. And this is Luke 11:1-4, and it's also over in the Sermon on the Mount. But it happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And I want to invite you into that place. You know, here was people who had walked with Jesus, and they asked him, teach us to pray. So John taught his disciples how to pray. Please teach us how to pray. All right? And, you know, that there are going to be many times in your life when you step into situations where you don't know what to do. You do not know how to pray. And the temptation is going to go to the rote. In other words, the things that you've memorized, the things that you've learned through just, you know, now I lay me down to sleep. But, you know, that one didn't work. No, it's, you know, Father, you know, forgive us for these. No, I mean, it's like, I'm going for something, and it's just not, no. And so, you know, then you know, I start praying in tongues, but then when we get where we're going to actually pray for the person, we say, I don't know what to say here. I don't know how to pray. Well, just so you understand, one of the things we learn about Jesus here is that he can be approached and be asked, teach me to pray. So when they come to him, and again, he says, teach us to pray. This is what he teaches them. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be thy name. Okay, hallelujah. So he says, look, call him Father. Pray to the Father in my name. All right, so he tells him, call him Father. Father, hallowed be thy name. But what comes exactly on the tail of this? Your kingdom come. All right, and if you go over to Matthew and pick up, you know, some parts of that from there, your kingdom come, your will be done. You know, that our place as children is that God desires that just Jesus came to undo the work of the devil. He came to accomplish his Father's will. All right, and so our role as children, you know, we learn this from Jesus, from seeing him. He spent his life to fulfill the things that God had sent him to do. You know, greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. All right, and so greater agape has no one than this, that he lays down his life for his philios. No, she's, I take this powerful, high, originates in God love, and I apply that into the lives of the people that are just my friends. All right, I don't require the same back from them. This is what Jesus did. Jesus was constantly pouring out this love. All right, even teaching these people to call God Father. You know, he's pouring out this love to them. And then he goes on to tell us, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. And again, if you want to get a little broader picture of this prayer, you go over in the Sermon on the Mount, and you hear it in Matthew's Gospel, give it a little more detail. But as we begin our year together, you know, I just want to call our attention to something again. You know, the Bible is a great book, and it teaches us doctrine. It teaches us what is the truth so that we don't get led away into things that are error. That's a great purpose for that book. You know, it's a history book. It tells us what happened so that we can understand what God has done. That's a great purpose, you know, for that book. You know, but it's also a book about relationship, all right? And that the foundational, life-changing, God-glorifying relationship that is offered to us is to know him and to be taught by him. You know, and as we enter into this new year, I want to take some time to just take some vignettes, some little parts of Jesus' life that are given to us in the scripture, and to take some time and just learn, God, what were you trying to tell us by showing us this? How was I supposed to be changed? You know, how is my life supposed to be different? How is the covenant going to be more real to me because of what I see in Jesus? And so Jesus knew God's truth intimately, right? And he spoke it from the heart. And, you know, there's things that, you know, we know because we learn them in Sunday school. We know them because we learn them in children's church. We know them because we read it in a book. We know it because we studied it. But the thing that makes Christians different, that makes our witness more powerful, that makes the possibility that somebody that we're touching, that we might become God's means for transforming them and making them somebody new. You know, I believe that a certain amount of it is rooted in being changed by the experience of meeting Jesus. That Jesus desires to reveal himself to us in life transformative ways that don't end with us, but become the means where people then can see that in us. And the opportunity to be transformed by the love of God, by what they see in us, by seeing Jesus in us, it's there. And that we can become the means that God uses to reach that person for him. And so as we begin this year together, I just want to encourage us all the more, you know, that God is looking for you to be some part of who Jesus is to the people that you're with. You know, I'm looking at somebody who came to me one day and said, how can I know God? You know, and I said, well, you're going to have to hang out with us to figure that out, you know, because what it is that each one of us is some little part of Jesus, just as a revelation to you, you know, and, you know, and it's, and yeah, that it's, I don't bring the whole package, I mean, I can bring salvation. I can bring the message of salvation to a person, but I don't bring the whole package. There might be stuff you need that you're going to find in some other person, you know, in the body of Christ. But Father, we pray this morning, Lord, that we would ever be that body, that representation of you, Lord, where you can empower by the Holy Spirit the things that are in us. Lord, we pray that use this view into the life of Jesus that we have from your word to change us and to help us to see the possibility that to someone this year, to someone maybe even this very day, we can be that representation of Jesus Christ to them that they need, that's going to make the difference in their life, that's going to draw their heart to faith in you, or that's going to release them, Lord, from things that have kept them bound. And Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening to this podcast brought to you every week by Henrietta Christian Fellowship, located at 1085 Middle Road in Rush, New York. If you have a prayer request or a need, we want you to know that we're here for you. Please send us an email at henriettacf@gmail.com. That's henriettacf@gmail.com. Once again, thank you for listening, and God bless.